We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. willpledge.org. Now here's your program.
And good morning. Welcome to Focus, our morning talk show. My name is David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us. And we're also very happy to have back here on the show once again the man we like to call our chef in residence. Doyle Moore is his name. And he's been stopping by now for a very long time. We don't even like to think about it, how long it's been. He's stopping by on a regular basis. We've been doing this on the first Wednesday to talk about food and cooking, and we always have fun when he's here, picking some topic and talking about that and telling stories about food and sometimes exchanging recipes and sometimes talking about various kinds of cooking techniques. And this time around, we thought we would talk about strawberries. And in fact, he brought in, nice guy that he is, he brought in some strawberries, and they're huge, fabulous berries. They smell fantastic. Some strawberries here. And strawberries, one of those things that I think probably most everybody would say, yes, they like strawberries. And we were just talking here about how back in the day when we were kids, pretty much there was strawberry shortcake and there was strawberry jam. And that was pretty much it. And now there's lots of people looking for more interesting things that you can do with strawberries. So that's what we'll talk about. And if people who are listening have good recipes they'd like to share, that would be great. Anything strawberry related, 333-9455. Toll-free, 800-222-9455. Email will-talk@illinois.edu. Good to see you here once again.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Harriet Williamson, one of our producers, came up with some strawberry-related information from Extension, from U of I Extension. Mm. I was looking at that, and it really is striking that so many people say, yeah, they like strawberries. A large percentage of American households say, yes, they have strawberries in their house. It's a good source of vitamin C. All around, good things. And now really is the time when as we were talking about before, now you can get them year-round. But now is a good time for strawberries.
Well, then the main bunch of them come in. Don't they come in June? I mean, aren't the Illinois strawberries from the southern part of the state here in June?
Yeah.
Of course, they are just absolutely superb. I mean, thank you, California, and thank you, Mexico, and every place else that we get them. But I like them. They're smaller. When I see these great big ones like this, I remember when I was in Japan, and that's been that was 50 years ago. the Japanese had perfected making big strawberries like this, and then each one was wrapped in a piece of paper and put into a case, very much like a dozen of eggs, and you could buy these great big huge strawberries, and it's the only place I'd ever heard about them. And would have them, but they were almost reverently, you take them out and very carefully uncover this paper and take out this gorgeous, gorgeous strawberry that was absolutely perfect right at that moment.
Uh-huh. And did they just serve it just like
mostly
like
they were
that?
they were just sliced, and they would be sliced and made into a fan or something like that as a part of a decoration, and I can't think of any. They're not that keen on desserts and jams and such things. They were just there. I mean, that was just one of the things. That and those grapes that were that big around. I was just amazed by that. And they were very careful about fruit. You'd get cantaloupes. That they literally, were sitting there and saying, it'll be ready in 2.5 hours from now. And here would be this absolutely beautiful, carefully taken care of cantaloupe with just the right little bit of stem on the top and in absolute perfect condition. It, too, had a paper wrapper around it and was very carefully done. That's the first time I was ever impressed with somebody paying really attention rather than grabbing something and throwing it in a box and running it over to you. Mm. So I have always had in my mind these ideal strawberries that I had 50 years ago. but we had a couple of times in places where we live, there were strawberry plants, and of course those were exciting to be able to have, but they were always very little, but very, very tasty. And fresh strawberries out of your garden are something that you can really cherish. Yeah. But then that always just comes in late May and June.
Yeah. Well, you asked me when I was a kid, did we have strawberry shortcake? And I'm thinking, yeah, I guess we probably did. There would be strawberry ice cream.
Yes, strawberry
ice cream.
And I
guess there was strawberry shortcake. And certainly there was strawberry jam. But really exotic kind of stuff. The idea of a strawberry salsa.
Oh.
No.
No, that hadn't happened.
No, that had not happened. That hadn't happened. And you're also talking about this thing that Italians like to do, to combine strawberries and balsamic vinegar.
And fresh basil. Fresh basil. I've got a couple of recipes like that. Well, the shortcake. I've always laughed about the shortcake because I've become stubborn in that, you know. Strawberries on top of a piece of angel food cake.
That's what you
give the minister when they come on Sunday, and that sort of thing. You make it very special. But I was talking to other friends this week, and my mother did. It was kind of strange because there was a little bit of a ritual involved with making the strawberry shortcake. She would make biscuits, just regular biscuit dough. And I'm thinking that there might have been some sugar in the biscuit dough, but the biscuits were patted out to two great big rounds, about 6 or 7 inches round, and two of them, and one was laid on top of the other. And you bake them both at the same time, and then you were able to take that top layer off and then put strawberries on the bottom and then put the top back on and then cut them into pieces. Uh-huh. And I was thinking about, gosh, those were so little. How did we manage to serve, what did we do? And all of a sudden I realized there was only four of us. So whack, whack, and you get a fourth, and you get a fourth, and on and on. And it was always served with milk. You poured milk over this, so it was in a shallow bowl or dish, and you poured milk over it, lots of milk. And I love that. What I'm thinking about, I resented the first time somebody served me strawberry shortcake with whipped cream because it did. The biscuit didn't soak up the milk, and that was the part that I dearly loved because you might have been able to. Well, there was sugar put on the strawberries, so this thing was sweet enough. And I just remember that cold milk and soaking up in the biscuits. That was always such a great treat, but it would only happen a couple of times during the year, and then the other thing that Mother did was. A strawberry jam, all the time. Even during the war rationing years, we always had sugar. We gave sugar away. I mean, we couldn't eat all the sugar was rationed, and so you had little stamps that you could. And so I remember Mother giving away a lot of sugar, but there was always enough to make strawberry jam. So those were the backgrounds of my strawberry eating, except I still do it every day. I was telling you, I secretly would go out and buy strawberries and never tell anybody because I wanted to believe in the fact that I really believed in the idea of strawberries or June. And my birthday is in January. I had to have strawberries.
Well, they're a good thing. They're a really good thing. I was, you said, but did I had we had strawberry shortcake as a kid? And I'm thinking, well, yeah. And we did the cake part. So you go to the store and you buy this thing. This looks kind of like a little bowl. And it's a sponge cake or something. And it has a little indentation in the top. And that was what you used to make strawberry shortcake. And a couple of years ago, I was at my dad's for his birthday. And my stepmom made strawberry shortcake, but she made what you're talking about, which was something like a sweet biscuit or a scone or something like that. It was a short cake. And we had that with strawberries, and I'm sure that there was whipped cream. And I'm thinking, now, okay, now you got something here. This is what it's supposed to be. That little factory-made piece of sponge cake, you can forget that. This is the thing. This is what it's really supposed to be like.
I agree.
And it was just fabulous. And the only reason I guess I didn't make it at home is because me and Mrs. Ange, you know, we end up with a dozen of these biscuit things. I'm thinking, okay, what are we going to do with all of this? I guess we could invite people over for strawberry shortcake, but otherwise, you know, we can't eat them. But that was, I thought, this is it right here. This is what it's supposed to be.
It's an effort, and it's an effort. You go out and buy the little cake. They're right there by the strawberries. Everyone
conveniently.
Yeah, they're right,
right
there
by the strawberry.
And I don't know if I've ever had one. I really think that I have rejected buying those. I wouldn't do that. Nope. Yeah.
Me, I just get some really good vanilla ice cream and have some berries and just put them together.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, and that was a good thing. And I do think a couple of times we may have even made strawberry ice cream. I think so, strawberry ice cream, because it was so exotic when you did that, and it's really, really very good.
Oh, yeah.
And, in the early part of my life, we were always making ice cream. I had to sit on top of it.
And someone had to crank it.
And somebody cranked it, and I sat on top of it to keep it down. And so because it would jump around if you didn't have any weight on it. So the little kid always gets to sit on the ice cream.
Our guest this morning, the man who sat on the ice cream, Doyle Moore, the guy we like to call our chef in residence once a month on first Wednesday. We're here and we talk about food and cooking this time around. We thought, let's talk about strawberries. And we're really interested in interesting, unique kind of things to do. There are now, because people are just crazy for food and cooking, you can go on the web and you can find a whole bunch of different things to do with strawberries, and Doyle has brought a few, and we can talk about them. But if you have somebody listening has a good recipe for something strawberry, some baked goods, strawberry in a salad, strawberry salsa, strawberry soup, whatever, you give us a call and tell us about it. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455, email will-talk@illinois.edu, and here's someone to talk with in Urbana. Line one.
Hi. This is very, very easy and really delicious. Wash and clean up strawberries and cut them so that the insides can soak up. A can of concentrated orange juice.
Orange juice, yes.
Yeah, you just put them into a big bowl, and they marinate in orange juice concentrate, and the combination of orange juice and fresh, ripe strawberries is fantastic, and it's easy as pie.
Then what do you do with them?
Eat them out of a bowl, I would. But I would imagine if you wanted to pour them over any number of things, from vanilla ice cream or shortcake, something like that, it would be very good. But we just ate ours in little bowls, and it was just superb.
Oh. Orange juice and strawberries. Yes,
yeah.
That's a good idea. I don't know if I've ever done that. But I think I will.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
And let's go on to, we have somebody on a cell phone. They're on line four. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
I've got a recipe that I've been using for several years for a baked strawberry pie that's just absolutely wonderful.
Oh, a baked pie. Good.
Yeah, and you use a product my mom got. I think she gets it over at Beachy's over at Arthur. And it's called Permaflow, and it works like cornstarch, but it doesn't flavor stuff like cornstarch does.
Permaflow.
The flavor of the strawberries through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really wonderful product, and I had never had a baked strawberry pie that I ever liked because I could always taste the starch in it.
Yes.
And once I started using this Permaflow, You can't beat it. It's just wonderful, and it makes the best pie you ever put in your mouth. So I just thought I'd share that.
Well, yes. Well, tell me more about making this pie. Do you have a recipe in your mind?
No, I just kind of wing it.
Oh.
Usually use like about four cups of sliced strawberries, and I'll use like 3 tablespoons of the Permaflow, and then just sweeten it to taste. And I'll usually put a tablespoon or two of butter, and it's make it like a two crust pie.
A two crust pie, mm-hmm. Good. Now, I'm so glad you didn't put rhubarb in it.
I like my rhubarb, but I like my strawberries, and I like to keep them separate for a
while. I do too. I resent a rhubarb strawberry pie. I just resent it because I am so keen on a rhubarb pie, and I'm glad you do it this way. Good strawberry pie.
Thank you.
Yes, I don't think I've ever eaten a whole strawberry pie. As I say, because I reject the ones put with rhubarb.
Yeah, and this product is I've never heard of this thing.
Permaflow.
Well, we'll have to look into that. Other calls are welcome. Questions, comments, recipes. We're talking about strawberries. It's our first show of the month. It's the first Wednesday of the month, and it's our cooking show. That's what we do here. We've been for a long time on the first Wednesday. 333-WILO-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455, and you can email will-talk@illinois.edu, and let's talk with someone in Paris on line number 2. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Strawberry ice cream is homemade.
Yes.
My very favorite ice cream.
It is, isn't it?
We used to make it a lot. And my husband put the strawberries in. But I want to ask a question about something else, and it's not quite fair on a strawberry program.
Oh, sure, anything is fair.
I've got a problem. I love rice and chicken and soup, cream of chicken soup, to flavor it. But when I look at the can, it says monosodium glutamate. I don't think we're supposed to be eating monosodium glutamate.
Well,
is that one of the no-nos?
What it is a flavor enhancer. I don't think some people are allergic to MSG, as it is called, and there was a variety of it that was invented in Japan. That material, but it was invented to be used as a flavor enhancer, and I think that. It has gotten out of hand, but mainly because some people are allergic to it and have strange reactions to MSG. So I'm not exactly certain whether they have. Certainly, there are some areas that have cut back on it because there are a lot of processed foods that say no MSG.
That's right.
And so you can at least find things that don't have that in it. I don't know. I don't have any advice on that. I would say it's yeah. To your own taste or to your own condition.
Okay. Can you use something? Do you know of something that I could use that would be very good and not use the cream of chicken soup?
Well, you see,
something else?
Yeah, I think I do. One of the problems with processed foods and unfortunately all of the soups is they are very 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 high in salt, and
yes.
I have had to eliminate salt in that manner from my diet. So I have hunted around and around and around. I have found a product. It's called Herb Ox. It's in a little box.
Herb,
H-E-R-B dash O-X, like cow.
It sounds like it's beef.
Well, Herb Ox is kind of a beef bouillon, but there is a beef bouillon and a chicken.
It's a bouillon.
And it's in powder form. It's not in a cube. And it has no salt in it. And I would say that the chicken one, because I've been using the chicken Herb Ox. It's powder form in a little packet, and I use that as a flavor, as a flavoring. And so I would recommend that and stay away from from having to because you could thicken that up if you wanted to with a white sauce, or if you wanted that particular texture, then go ahead and make it as a white sauce. But use for the flavoring, use this salt-free herb ox, and they come both in beef and chicken.
Isn't that wonderful? See, I knew I could ask you a question like that. And
well,
you
it's newly found newly found information for me too.
All right.
Thank you so
you
much.
You bet.
I will do that.
Good.
All right, thank
now.
You. Other questions, comments? We started out here talking about strawberries, and we're looking for strawberry recipes and thoughts and stories. But of course, anything you want to call and say hi. We've also done the kind of thing that we just did. Sometimes we've done troubleshooting.
People said,
I got this problem. I'm trying to do this, and it's not working for me. What do you think? And Doyle would tell you what he thought, and other people who are listening would pitch in with their thoughts. So that's good, too. We're just trying to have some fun.
Oh, well, I have to back up a month.
Yes.
Last month.
Okay, yeah.
We had such a good time with the flans. And such.
Yeah.
And thank you. I got three calls about that chocolate pot de creme that I wanted to know how to make. And I've been making it all this last month. I've got three people contacted me from outside of the program. So I appreciate listeners' help. I mean, come on, we pay attention to the program as much as the listeners do.
Yeah. Well, if you want to call in, 333-9455 is a Champaign-Urbana number. Toll free, 800-222-9455. And you can also email will-talk@illinois.edu. So I know that what you did before the show, you started doing some research, and you went on the web and you started looking for strawberry recipes. So what's one of the most interesting or strangest or unusual, or maybe it's just something to you that was new that you found?
I'm going to tell about one that I think would be the easiest and most direct one to deal with. It's a strawberry and spinach salad, and I kind of like the nature of this because it's straightforward. It's a package of baby spinach and a third of a cup of sliced almonds that are toasted, and then a pint of strawberries that you have cut into quarters, and one medium cucumber that you have peeled, seeded, and diced. So you've got this green cucumber taste, strawberries, almonds, and baby spinach. And the dressing that you use for that is half of a lemon, the juice of half of a lemon, 2 tablespoons of white wine vinegar, a third of a cup of sugar, which is a little more than I would necessarily want, but this is a Southern recipe, so it's going to be very sweet, and 1 tablespoon of vegetable oil and 1 teaspoon full of poppy seeds. So lemon juice, vinegar, sugar, vegetable oil, and poppy seeds. Pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. And it's the combination that interests me is spinach, almonds, strawberries, and cucumbers. Mm-hmm. And that would be... That's pushing everything a little bit farther than you generally do. I have used strawberries in salads for a long time. I've sort of switched, however, because I really like raspberries, and I do like raspberries in a salad. But I remember when I first started putting strawberries in a salad, and it always surprised me, and it was pretty good.
Yeah.
And that's a very plain, simple one because that doesn't involve the new balsamic vinegar. But I've got one that uses balsamic vinegar as well and ricotta, and I like that as a salad too. This one is. Some ricotta cheese and honey, vanilla extract, and balsamic vinegar and sugar and strawberries quartered, and then 2 tablespoons of fresh basil leaves. I find that this use of basil and balsamic vinegar is really good with strawberries. And I remember the first time I had I couldn't believe. I went to a restaurant, very nice restaurant up in Michigan somewhere, and here it was a sort of a little Napoleon made with pieces of puff pastry and strawberries and maybe a little bit of whipped cream or something was on there, and balsamic vinegar and then a big basil leaf on top. I thought, did they reach for the mint and not? And what on earth is this? And I took one taste of it, and I was sold. But that hasn't been very long ago since I had that taste, that new taste. And so I was sort of interested in this little recipe that has strawberries and ricotta cheese that gives a nice base to it. But the other one is very easy to do. It's puff pastry. You cut out little squares of it, put strawberries on it, pile another one on top of it, and then if you want to put, you could put various kinds of creams or, you know, creme anglaise, things like that, but serve it with a basil leaf. And there are a lot of herbs that tend to go with strawberries, but you don't think of herbs and strawberries because strawberries are dessert, and that's it, and herbs are for putting in chicken soup. But I have been advised that thyme is a very good accompaniment to strawberries, and I do know that there are a couple of recipes with rosemary that you would chop up fresh rosemary and put things together. I sort of like that kind of taste because it's very similar to some of the things that I sort of were doing. And that is having fruit flavors in fresh fruit flavors in salads.
Yeah.
I think that's neat.
I think that that's you can do different kind of combinations with a salad where you essentially have a green.
Yes.
And a fruit and then maybe some kind of nut element. And then also if you want to add another layer, a little bit of cheese, like a little bit of goat cheese.
Goat cheese would be very good.
Gorgonzola is nice.
Mozzarella, strawberry and mozzarella.
And then maybe a very kind of simple vinaigrette with that. And it's very surprising. So you can get some different textures. You get a little sweetness. You get some pungency. You get some creaminess from the cheese. And all of that stuff going on in one little thing.
Yeah, strawberry and mozzarella is a good combination. Olive oil, balsamic vinegar, salt and pepper, and then romaine lettuce and strawberries and diced mozzarella cheese, and then 1/4 a cup of fresh basil leaves cut into ribbons. Chiffonade, we call that.
Pretty soon it'll be time to start planting that basil.
I thought of that day before yesterday. You can buy basil plants, which I always like to do, but if you only have one or two basil plants, that's not enough. You really need a large amount. And so I have a friend who puts a whole package of seeds in small container, and it grows up very fast and very – and then cuts them while they're very small and fresh.
And it's really easy. They germinate very easily and very quickly.
Yes, they
grow
do.
Up pretty quick. And then if you want, what you can do is have additional crops. You start a few and then and then you put a few more and then you put a few more. And then that way you can always make sure that you have some. And if you got a good sunny spot, you keep that going all summer long.
Well, if I can hold out, I wait until the farmer's market and I get a great big bunch.
Well, that's nice, true.
It's wonderful.
But sometimes I like, if you're cooking and maybe you just want to have a little bit, it's great to be able to just go, step out the back door and just clip off as much as you might need, a few leaves worth. You're not going to, if you're going to make pesto, you'd end up wiping out your whole crop.
Well,
you can't
that's again why you have to have more than one or two plants, because pesto takes a goodly amount.
All right. We have some other folks to talk with. Let's do that. Champagne is next, line one.
Hi, you want a good recipe for strawberries?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, here's something called flame strawberries. You take your strawberries, you cut them up in pretty uniform slices or chunks. You get a frying pan, and you put about a half a stick of butter in it. And this would be for maybe a half pint of strawberries, more or less. You you get the butter hot until the foam subsides. You put the strawberries in there, and you dump in about half as much sugar as strawberries. And then you stir
quite
it around
a bit, yeah.
And this is where it becomes, the technique is important. You got to have a really hot burner, and it should really be a gas burner, maybe one of those 12,000 BTU gas burners or more. And at some point after the strawberries have cooked just a little bit, not too much, not too little. If you cook them too little, then it ends up being gritty. If you cook it too much, it becomes watery, because in the next step you're going to throw in some alcohol, and if you have it too watery, the alcohol won't burn. So you want it to be a heavy syrup consistency, and then you put in alcohol. I like Grand Marnier best, but rum also works. About a third of a cup of that, maybe a quarter of a cup, and then you tilt the pan and it goes whoof, and it flames, and you burn off nearly all the alcohol. If you don't burn off the alcohol, then it tastes too alcoholic, and I don't think that's good. And then you serve that over ice cream.
Over ice cream.
Yeah, and I like to let it cool a little bit because I like my ice cream really hard and cold, but other people like it when it's hot and served over ice cream. You have these chunks of strawberries floating around in this syrup that's buttery and also
butter and sugar. But now you don't cook it so it's caramelized.
No, no.
So you don't go that far.
No, you don't go nearly that far. Although I suppose if you did use too much sugar, it probably would caramelize in the process a little bit.
That would be awfully hot, and then the strawberries would sort of wither if
I
you
think
did
you're
that.
Right. Yeah, and in fact, I think I don't think it would caramelize, because I think as long as the strawberries are in there, they're going to keep the boiling point low enough that it's not going to
break
the sugar molecule.
And then they've got a lot of moisture in them too.
That's right. There's a lot of reserve moisture in there. So, but the point is, you need to get this thing hot enough before the strawberries start to render their moisture. Completely. I mean, they have to render a little bit of it, but before they render much of it, you want to get that alcohol in there and burned off before you start to get a lot of water coming out of the strawberries.
All of a sudden, I had a great epiphany. You've made Foster's a banana Foster's with using strawberries.
You know, I realized that afterwards. I invented this recipe before I'd ever even heard of banana Foster's. But when I did later on hear about banana Foster's, I realized it was the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I was sitting here thinking about this, and all of a sudden I realized it isn't caramelized. It's just brought
That's right.
to the, and then it's given this added flavor and that, and it's exactly the way and there are other, I like that idea very much.
The other thing it works with is blueberries.
Ooh.
But I've tried it with other fruits, and they other than bananas. Now with banana Foster, I think you're only supposed to use rum, right? Not Grand Marnier.
Yeah, but you've done right too. I like rum with fruit.
Yeah. Now this is old cuisine. This isn't, this really light stuff. I mean, this has got a lot of water and sugar in it, and not to mention the ice cream. So, but I'll tell you, it is really great. It'll really knock your socks off.
Well, it will, and it's just a little dramatic. I like that very much.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, I blackened the ceiling a couple times.
Well, that happens.
Yeah.
That happens.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Right. You're
that's,
quite welcome.
That's good.
Thank you.
I like invention.
And if you're going to do that, you're going to try that at home, ladies and gentlemen. Before you put your alcohol in the pan, remove the pan from the stove and step away.
Step away.
You got to be real careful when you do that. But probably everybody should try. Everybody should flambé something at least once.
Well, that sounds kind of good.
Right.
I don't believe I've ever had that.
Strawberries Foster.
Strawberries Foster. I mean, all of a sudden it was, oh, my gosh, that's what it is. It isn't caramel. It isn't caramel syrup with strawberries in it. It's another dessert. Mm-hmm. I like it. Great.
All right. Very good.
Good invention.
15 minutes left. This part of Focus.
Oh, dear.
First Wednesday, we're talking about food and cooking with Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our chef in residence. And we pick, every time we do this, we pick some topic. It could be a particular dish or a particular ingredient. And we say, well, what do you do with that? What's your approach? You got some story associated with it. And this time around, because it was just the right time of year, he said, well, let's talk about strawberries and different things that you can do with strawberries. We have other callers, and next up is someone in Champaign County, here where we are. This is line two. Hello.
Well, this is not fair because I have a strawberry bed, and I have part of the strawberry bed in June bearers and part of the strawberry bed in ever bearers. So I have strawberries from maybe a week from now until frost.
Oh, great. Great.
What I do would like to suggest is a strawberry smoothie of sorts.
Ooh, yes. I had one this morning.
Well, it may not be like mine.
No, let's hear about it.
I fill the blender about two-thirds full of strawberries.
Yeah.
And then I put in about a cup of cottage cheese.
Oh, of cottage cheese, yes.
And that's the thickener instead of banana.
Oh, yes.
And then sweetener, brown sugar and sugar.
Oh, brown sugar.
Half and half each to taste. And what I've been doing recently is really cutting down the amount of plain sugar and using stevia.
Oh, yes, that would do. Yep.
About a teaspoon or so of stevia plus maybe a third a cup of brown sugar.
Brown sugar would be a nice taste.
Just just check it, and if you like the don't like the taste or don't like the sweetness, add a little bit more, and if you don't like the thickness, add a little bit more cottage cheese.
Now, do you have any other liquids in that, or is it just strawberries and cottage cheese?
Yes, strawberries and cottage cheese.
And that will blend up good enough. Well, I might try that because I've been having smoothies for breakfast at the advice of Alton Brown.
And this will give you some protein.
Yes, yes, because you got the cottage cheese. That's good. I like that.
Have a good day.
You bet. Well, thanks
a
lot.
Thank you very much. And let's
strawberry smoothie.
We will go on and now come to Urbana, line three. Hello.
Hello. Hi. I didn't hear all your programs, so I don't know if someone called this in or not. But I have vivid memories of my mom making strawberry rhubarb pie.
Oh yes.
Where you combine it half and half, and it's just I don't know. Rhubarb all by itself leaves something to be desired in the color and presentation. And the strawberries really take care of that.
They do. They make a difference. I had said I'm all against that, but I'm afraid I have eaten enough of them that maybe I shouldn't really be that vehement about it. I love rhubarb. I love rhubarb all the way. But rhubarb and strawberries has been made into a very good combination. Can you give us more about your pie?
Well, what I do is you use the same amount of strawberries as you do rhubarb.
Okay.
And you cut it up, and you cook it pretty much like you would a normal berry pie with your crust and adding a little sugar and lemon juice and then tapioca in the bottom of the pan.
Tapioca, yes.
Yeah. You can add cinnamon. I tend to be a purist and prefer lemon juice.
Mm-hmm.
And you bake it up, and I think it's just a real wonderful way to use some early year fruits. And, of course, I love both strawberries and rhubarb. My mom always used to make rhubarb jam.
Oh, my.
She would grow it in her garden.
Yes.
And actually, one time she gave me seeds, although I think it's kind of difficult to start from seeds.
Generally, because it's you have to buy roots, and they're very deep.
Right.
And you buy roots from, I know Jeffy Wandell has them out at Prairie Gardens. You can get rhubarbs, various kinds. There's some little tiny skinny ones that are very nice, but I like the big old fat ones.
Oh, yeah. Well, this year I'm living somewhere where I can have a garden, and I'm putting in lots of strawberries and rhubarb.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
Not exactly next year, because you have to wait a year with rhubarb. But
yes.
In the future, I will be able to make my own pies.
That's good.
My own yard, so.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, well, thank you. And again, we'll go to another call. This is someone in Champaign, line one. Hello.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering, we just moved from Chicago, And you guys were saying something about farmers market. When we were used to live in St. Louis, they used to have a farmers market, and it was great. Where is the farmers market here?
Farmers market here is at Lincoln Square Mall, and on Saturday mornings. And it, in fact, the first one, they just had the first one last Saturday. So it will be going now throughout the summer and into the early part of the fall. And it's a really nice farmer's market. So I would definitely say, you should check it out.
And is it every Saturday or is it certain times a month?
It's every Saturday.
And Lincoln Square, is it in Urbana? We just moved from Chicago, so we're not really familiar with the neighborhood.
Yes, it's in
Urbana.
It's in Urbana. Do you know where the downtown is in Urbana?
I'll figure it out. In Lincoln Square in Urbana, right?
That's correct. It's near the downtown. It's very near where City Hall is located, not very far from the Urbana Public Library. It's kind of down there where everything's in Urbana, where everything's happening. And you will not have any trouble finding it. Anybody should tell you how you can get to.
Oh, well, it's in the park.
Yes, it's in the parking lot on the southeast corner. So that would be bordered by, I believe it's Illinois Street on one side and
Vine.
And Vine. On the other.
Thank you so much, okay?
Sure.
Well, you'll
sure
enjoy
might.
It
oh,
very
yeah.
much.
Great,
you'll,
yeah, do go.
You'll have a good time because it's a lot of local produce and a lot of local friends are there, and you'll enjoy it very much.
And it's a big social occasion there.
I'll
Everybody
say.
Turns out, and it's great to see people and talk and buy good stuff. And it's a great thing. We're very lucky. And now there is also a farmer's. Is there not also a farmer's market in Champaign? And I think that's in
On Wednesday or Thursday?
It's during the week.
Yes,
I know. And the only one that I'm really familiar with, I'm an Urbanaite, so I know the one that we have in Urbana on Saturdays. But it's a great thing, so people should definitely go. Thursdays. Thank you very much, Jason Croft. Thursdays in Champaign. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Email will-talk@illinois.edu, about 5 minutes or so here in this part of Focus. Do you have another recipe?
I have another that I haven't made this, but it inspired me. I'm going to read this off here. This is a Guy Fieri. You can't beat him for inventing something. Strawberry panzanella. Now, panzanella is that Tuscan bread salad,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Okay.
So it's this. I like this because it has a bunch of stuff. Like you're saying, you put what in it? You know, I mean, all right, garlic powder, onion powder, black pepper, kosher salt, olive oil, and a loaf of bread cut into 1-inch cubes, a half a cup of sherry. 2 tablespoons of honey, a cup of fresh strawberries, 4 tomatoes chopped, and a cup of blue cheese, and an orange, and sliced red onion. That's a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, it's a cross between the regular panzanella, but it includes the strawberries. And what you really do is you put all of those things together. I'll go through it so it is again. So that was a tablespoon of garlic powder, a tablespoon of onion powder, a teaspoon of black pepper, and 2 teaspoons of kosher salt. I'd cut down on the salt. Half a cup of olive oil and the bread, a loaf of bread. He wants sourdough bread cut up into cubes. And what you do with those cubes is you put them on a baking sheet and bake them for about 20 minutes until they're golden brown. So they're going to soak up the juices and such things. But I just thought the idea of tomatoes and blue cheese and orange, the zest, there's no orange juice, but the zest, and a cup of onion. And you've got the regular panzanella, but then all of a sudden it takes on this other little flavor of the sweetness of the strawberries. I thought it really sounded like a very interesting thing. This is, you can find this recipe on the internet. It's a strawberry panzanella, the Guy Fieri.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just crazy enough to have something like that.
Well, that's just I'm just thinking that, you know, there's nothing about that guy that's subtle and low key.
Oh no, so it excited me very much because I would not have thought. Well, see, all he's really done is taken a panzanella and added strawberries, but then you got that in with blue cheese. And all of a sudden, oh my gosh, strawberries and blue cheese! Just think of these funny combinations that are happening. It's God bless America. I'm telling you, American cooks are something else. I think I do think that American cooks are the best cooks in the world because they're wider in their experience, much wider. You get into some areas where you can only do this and only do that, and they've done it for at least 1,000 years, true. We haven't been at it that long. And we opened this up, and, I mean, you know, Julia Child made cooks out of the people and made people to invent things and to put things together. I think American cooking is just tip-top.
Yeah. Well, I think what you say is right, is people, they're willing to try things. They're willing to take something from one place and something else from another place and say, well, you know, why not see how those two things go together? Well, and if it's good, fine. And if not, well, okay.
Well, that's my response to this Tuscan bread salad, you know, which I've known for years as Tuscan bread salad with tomatoes and onions and cucumbers and oil and vinegar. And it's something you carry out to the field and can have. And it ripens during the morning after you've made it and you have it nice for a lunch, the panzanella. And I've enjoyed that. I've had it by several different people. But then all of a sudden, strawberries? And, you know, these three, I think it's an original idea.
Okay.
I like it very much.
A couple minutes here. Someone wants to call. We can get him in. 333-9455. Toll-free 800-222-9455. And you can also email to will-talk@illinois.edu. One of the things that Harriet, one of our producers, came up with some information, and I think maybe at the beginning I mentioned we had some information about strawberries from Extension, from the folks at Extension.
Oh, yes.
And here's a recipe that I think is kind of interesting that I would like to try. It's relatively simple. It's for strawberry salsa, where they say you take a cup of coarsely chopped strawberries, tablespoon of orange juice, a teaspoon of grated orange peel, a green onion, finely chopped, top included, a teaspoon of Dijon mustard, 2 tablespoons dried currants, and 2 tablespoons red wine vinegar. Mix it up. There you go. And I'm sure that would be very good with a nice piece of grilled chicken, maybe a little nice piece of grilled salmon that would be good with. Fruit salsas are just a fairly new kind of
yes, they are.
Thing.
And they always surprised me because, you know, the first time you heard salsa, other than music, was it's tomato.
The thing with the tomatoes.
Tomatoes and green peppers and something like that. And it's only for Mexican-style food. By the way, happy Cinco de Mayo, in case. But then all of a sudden, here come a bunch of them with green papaya and with pineapple. And mangoes
and all these
flavors. And it just exploded the whole possibility. Love it.
Yeah. One caller here. Want to make sure we get them. And they're in Urbana. Hello.
Hello. I don't want to offend you with another strawberry rhubarb recipe, but.
Oh, that's all right.
A brave caller phoned in with a strawberry rhubarb pie.
Yes, they did.
And I do one every year. That I don't use tapioca as a filler.
Oh, yes.
Thickener, and I don't pre-cook it. So I do 3 cups of cut up rhubarb, 3 cups of strawberries, about 2 cups of sugar, and then 2/3 cup of all-purpose flour mixed in with the fruit. So there's no liquid added.
Oh, so it's flour.
It coats it.
Yeah.
And then once I have it in the pie pan, I dot some butter around on top. And then build a lattice top.
Oh, a lattice top, so it'll bubble. Oh, good.
And it's a deep dish pie, so there's 6 cups of fruit in the pie.
Mm.
And but it doesn't have it's not pre-cooked. It keeps the texture of the rhubarb and the strawberries a little better than when you put things in a saucepan and cook them and then pour them into the pie pan.
Now, I hadn't thought about that, but I think what you've just described is probably what I dislike about that combination. It became just mush. And
yeah.
And this, if the rhubarb keeps its identity and the strawberries have – do you slice the strawberries?
I slice the strawberries, yes. And, depending on how big they are,
uh-huh.
they have reasonable-sized chunks. But I like to have a fairly firm strawberry so it's not too runny. But it sets up very nicely, and you just sort
of – Well, it's very simple, rhubarb and strawberries and sugar and butter and flour.
I grate some orange zest on it, but otherwise there's no cinnamon or anything else added to it. So that's one of my favorites, and my family always expects it when June 1st arrives.
Well, that's the time to do it, isn't it? Well, thank you very much. I shouldn't be so fussy about that, but – They're always so wimpy. I like this one that you express the idea that it contains its identity in texture. I like that.
We're going to have to stop.
Oh dear!
Because we're here at the end.
It always happens. Yes, the time on the old clock on the wall says time to go. I never want to leave.
Well, we'll be back again next month, first Wednesday. We'll talk about something. We'll find something to talk
about.
We'll
find something to talk
about. Divine inspiration will strike a day or two before.
Either that or Harriet will come up with an idea again. This was Harriet's idea.
This was Harriet's, that's right.
This was Harriet's idea.
All right.
She says strawberries. I said, what? All you do is make jam or strawberry shortcake.
Ha, ha, ha.
And then we found, look what we found today.
Doyle Moore.
Four newly invented dishes. I love it.
The man we call our chef in residence. Thanks.